am very excited to welcome to the WTMJ studio from Marquette University, Dr. Leah Culligan Flack. How are you, Leah?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It is my pleasure. I'm glad that our mutual friend Melissa connected us and said, you know, with the blockbuster IMAX film about the Odyssey coming out with Matt Damon this weekend, what about an interesting take on the literature that it's based on? But also, you're very contemporary. We've been comparing notes and like what you hope is going to be in this Christopher Nolan film. Because, you know, Christopher Nolan, his last movie was Oppenheimer. So he's an ambitious man. So
right.
Now he's taking on a 3,000-year-old story. So thank you for joining me. And before, since you, this is your world of expertise, for a lot of people who haven't read The Odyssey since high school, what's the Cliff Notes version or the elevator pitch?
The Cliff Notes, the Spark Notes version, is this is a 3,000-year-old story that stars Odysseus, who was a Trojan War hero, and it is about his 20-year voyage home to Ithaca from Troy. This is a journey that should have taken about a week. It's 560 nautical miles, but it took him 20 years.
Is it because he kept experiencing the hurdles of the mythical beasts that are in his way? And
he angered the wrong god. So along the way, he blinded the Cyclops, who is the son of Poseidon. And Poseidon cursed his journey and delayed it. So he was at the war for 10 years. It took him 10 years to get home. And so it's a fundamentally human story. So we have three casts of characters. We've got the gods up in the heavens who are petty and childish and squabbling with each other. We have Odysseus and his men trying to get to Ithaca. And then we are in Ithaca with the queen of Ithaca, Penelope, and her son Telemachus. They're trying to fight off suitors who are trying to take Odysseus's place. They haven't heard a word about him. And so they don't know that he's still alive and trying to get home. And so those are kind of our three settings at the beginning.
And automatically, as soon as you say that, I'm like, well, that tests your faith. And that's, you know, so there are those universal themes in storytelling that were just as potent 3,000 years ago as they are now.
This is a deeply human story that continues to resonate. There have been more than 60 translations of the Odyssey in English. There have been countless adaptations in poetry, play, film, opera. And this is a story that has compelled people through the ages, because what is more universal than a desire to return home, a desire to return to who we fundamentally are? Odysseus is unlike the heroes of the Iliad, who were known for their warrior prowess. He's known for enduring and surviving. And so he really is a great representation of kind of every person and our struggles through life.
Adaptability. There's all those. Yeah,
absolutely. He's known as the man of many twists and turns in one translation. And I love that the most recent translator of the Odyssey kind of condensed that to one word: complicated. He's a complicated man.
So tell me about your personal history with the Odyssey as an English professor.
So in graduate school, I was just interested in why there seemed to be an Odyssey in every national literature, in every era, and just noticed that there was a lot of attention to Homer in periods of political conflict, so periods of war. So I've written about people across Europe who used the Odyssey right after World War I to try to almost imagine a path forward for the world after a horrific war. I think that it's no accident that we're in our own Homeric moment, since we've in the 21st century, we've had so much conflict. And so we see all kinds of new novel adaptations and, you know, stories that are sort of bringing this story to life for our own moment.
What is it about Homer's Odyssey, literally his journey to get back home, that you think resonates during these times of turmoil?
I think this idea of endurance and survival as values that we can all rally behind, you know, we might not be encountering sirens and monsters on our journeys, but we do have our struggles and our obstacles. And so I think that we can very much identify with that. Odysseus survives not because he's godlike as a fighter, but he survives by his wits. And he provides a hero that we can kind of all rally around. He's a very flawed hero. He, you know, leads to his own undoing at different moments, like when he's sailing away from the Cyclops after he's blinded him. He could have gotten away, but he has to yell back to him, "Hey, the person who blinded you was me, Odysseus from Ithaca." He couldn't
remember
let
my
the
name.
Moment pass.
Right,
exactly. So that called the curse down on him. So he's a flawed hero, but he's one we can rally around. Oh,
and one we can understand. Like, I want credit for that.
Yeah.
You know, those parts of your or exactly. your ego that you like you want people to know. That's funny. I am with Dr. Leah Flack from Marquette University, who you insist I call you Leah, not doctor.
Absolutely.
Okay. And but I'm excited to talk with you more about, you mentioned Cyclops, and for anybody who's like, spoiler alert, you know, this is a story, it's been around 3,000 years, so we won't give away anything. And we also don't know exactly what is going to be in the Christopher Nolan film.
Right.
So I want to ask you, Leah, more about what you think may or may not be in the film, and also some of the cast of characters that you hope will be in the film. So stay with us as we preview Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey blockbuster movie coming out this weekend.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
A wife, a son,
and then what?
We won the war. Help me go home.
That is from the trailer, The Odyssey, Christopher Nolan's newest movie, his first one since Oppenheimer. This is larger than life, filmed on IMAX and coming out. I've got my IMAX ticket for Thursday, and it'll be out this weekend. Probably one of the biggest blockbusters of this summer, if not the biggest. And to share her expertise and knowledge and enthusiasm for this film, Marquette University English professor Dr. Leah Flack is with me. And Leah, what's the first time you read The Odyssey? Did you fall in love with it, or did you just go, okay, this is a classic and I need to read it?
No, I actually came to it backwards. I read James Joyce's Ulysses first, which is, you know, this kind of mammoth 20th century novel that's based on The Odyssey. And then I thought, I should go back and read The Odyssey. The fact that I did it in reverse rather than reading the original first meant that I saw The Odyssey as fundamentally strange and modern and experimental. So I think that's influenced how I've read it ever since.
Instead of a stuffy,
yep.
Well, I would say stuffy 3,000-year-old story, yeah. But I don't think there's anything stuffy about it. You had shared with me, thank you for bringing me up to speed in my own like mini course, but to learn that this story is older than Greek writing. This story is oral.
I think that's something for us to keep in mind. I think that people who are going to theaters this weekend to see the film will be having conversations about how true this movie is to the Homeric original. And I think that that's a nice idea, but I think that that might be kind of a misguided idea. The Odyssey existed for hundreds of years before it was written down and became a single story.
And how did it exist for hundreds of years before anybody wrote it down?
There were rhapsodes who were singers in ancient Greece who would sing little pieces of it as after dinner entertainment. And so it was the opposite of stuffy. If it wasn't entertaining and gripping, if it didn't have audiences on the edges of their seats, the rhapsode wouldn't get paid as much, right? Or wouldn't get honored as much. And so, you know, it was
the tip jar.
Exactly. It was kind of part of, you know, American Idol 3,000, you know, years ago. So where there would be contests, where people would sing parts of it. Some of the most famous parts of the Odyssey, like the Cyclops story and the Siren story, exist in hundreds of other traditions and forms, and it absorbed them and kind of became a big anthology.
This is, I think that's, so super not stuffy. And
yeah.
Then how in the world does Christopher Nolan boil this down to a 2-hour and 52-minute film, but considering all of the adventures that he has, what do you expect to see in this 3-hour epic film?
I'm very excited for it. And I think that he was probably the right person to do it. What I expect to see and what I hope to see is not an over-reliance on the Homeric text, but on, you know, him focusing on producing a fantastic and entertaining and thoughtful film in its own right. And I think that that is the mark of a great adaptation. And so a couple of things that I have a feeling are going to be part of this story, and I'll find out if I'm right this weekend. I would expect Odysseus to be a complex figure. So not a kind of two-dimensional caricature of a figure. Casting Matt Damon suggests that that's the direction that he's going to go in. I'm really interested in seeing what he does with the women in the Odyssey. The Homeric text is actually really radical in its presentation of Odysseus's wife, Penelope.
How is it radical?
Being just as cunning and as resourceful as he is. When he arrives home at long last, and this isn't too much of a spoiler, she doesn't welcome him with open arms. She tests him. She constructs a series of kind of mental tests that he has to pass. She survives and stays single and faithful, really by her own wiles and her own artistry. And I would
expect... Because that's a 20-year wait.
That is. And she had a lot of reason to sort of remain unmarried. You know, she was able to retain her power in the palace.
We see how many stories in before the 20th century where women don't have power and or property, you know, or wealth. And so for her to be a strong figure is interesting.
One tactic she used that's so fascinating is she said to the hundreds of suitors who are overrunning the palace, I can't remarry until I weave a funeral shroud for Laertes, Odysseus's father, who is still alive. And so she would weave
tactics.
She would weave this during the day, and at night she would unweave it. So she never made any progress. And she got away with this for several years before any of them noticed.
Because no one else knew how to weave. All
exactly.
The men didn't know how to weave.
Exactly.
They didn't know that she was being crafty. How fun. She is Dr. Leah Flack from Marquette University. More insights from an academic perspective, but also a film enthusiast. We'll find out more about what you think will be in the film and what you hope will be in the film. And maybe talk about some Cyclops. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Just sounds like an epic. The Odyssey, directed by Christopher Nolan, is being released. You can find it Thursday, but officially on Friday. But it is going to be one of the biggest movies of the summer. Matt Damon plays Odysseus. You have Anne Hathaway as Penelope, Zendaya and Tom Holland. Robert Pattinson, who is still Team Edward for me, but from Twilight, I'm happy to see him. Charlize Theron, Travis Scott. It's a big, interesting, versatile cast that will be telling this 3,000-year-old story in the 21st century. And in the studio with me from Marquette University, English professor, Dr. Leah Flack. And Leah, some of the flack that has happened on social media is about the language itself. And that when the trailer came out, there are people who say, why are they speaking American English? And I heard the word dad. And there are people who have said, well, shouldn't it be like proper British English? And it's like, well, but this is a Greek story. So neither of those languages were being spoken. What is your thought on how this script should be spoken and what is there a proper way to speak it?
My sense is that the language should feel alive and vital, and it should advance the story. It should tell us who the characters are and what their relationships are to each other. And I think that an attempt in 2026 to make something seem static and British and high culture actually fundamentally goes against what the sort of original context of the Odyssey was. So I want to see something that feels vibrant and current. And I want something that is in a vernacular that we actually can identify with, because then we can identify with the characters more. I was really excited to see that Christopher Nolan chose Emily Wilson's 2017 translation. She is someone who I think has reinvented Homer for our era. And she has made the story exciting. She's made it a page turner. And she's done so. I mean, she has all the classics credentials. She's a University of Pennsylvania classicist. She knows her stuff, but she has actually corrected centuries of misreadings of the text, and she's made it alive. And she's done it in a language that, you know, that middle schoolers could read comfortably and happily.
If you assign the Odyssey in your class at Marquette, what version do you assign?
Emily Wilson, be it for a freshman class or for a graduate class. I've done it in both.
Because you think it's that well-researched and that authentic?
Students get also so excited that they have much richer things to say about it. I had a class of engineering students arguing about whether Penelope is the hero of the Odyssey after reading this. I never saw that kind of enthusiasm or that depth of reading from the other translations as students sort of struggled through something that might have tried to sound more like high culture.
Dr. Leah Flack from Marquette University, English professor. And after we check in with the news, we'll talk a little bit more about what to expect and you have a couple more hot takes on the Odyssey, what you've seen so far. So we'll check in and with the WTMJ Breaking News Center and then continue our Odyssey conversation. And now in the WTMJ Breaking News Center, here is Jessica Gatzo.
Thanks, Sandy.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. Talking about the Odyssey, Homer's epic poem that influenced everything to this police song where there's a lyric that said, trapped between the Scylla and Charybdis. And I'm here with Dr. Leah Flack from Marquette University, English professor. That is part of the Odyssey, isn't it?
It is, yes. It's the Odysseus needs to make a choice whether to take on Scylla, who's a monster, or Charybdis, which is a whirlpool.
So it is fascinating. That came to me in the shower today. Honestly, I was like, oh my gosh, Homer's The Odyssey has influenced all kinds of art ever since 3,000 years ago.
Thank you for seeing that. During my dissertation, I was convinced I was losing my mind because I also saw it everywhere, but it really is everywhere.
Where else have you seen
about
Odyssey
The Simpsons,
references?
Right? I mean, something as basic as that, right? That's they not only do several episodes that have their own kind of take on that. But if I wanted to see the word Homer all over the place during those years, there was no kind of shortage of that.
That is so obvious. So we're talking about The Odyssey, the huge blockbuster film filmed on IMAX. I think IMAX is saying it's the only film that's ever been completely filmed on IMAX. So this is truly an epic adventure filmed by Christopher Nolan, the same director who filmed the Oppenheimer film and won many awards. And Matt Damon plays Odysseus, Anne Hathaway, Tom Holland, Zendaya, Robert Pattinson, Charlize Theron, and Travis Scott are all part of this cast. And what does it mean to you that Travis Scott and what role he's going to be?
I was so excited to see this as a decision. So first of all, we don't know who Homer was. We don't even know if Homer was a real person. The information we get on this is largely through the depiction of poets and bards in the Odyssey. And so Christopher Nolan has cast Travis Scott in that role as the bard.
Who's and already so, a well-known rapper. So
absolutely. And so the fact that he chose a well-known rapper to represent the sort of, you know, the voice and the storyteller of the age, I think tells us a lot about the kind of risks he's taking that I think are going to really pay off.
And also the attempt to be accessible, to
Absolutely.
Not have anybody who says, you know, if you turn to your grandma and say, I'm going to see The Odyssey, and she says, I read that in high school.
Right.
You might be going, maybe I don't want to see The Odyssey. Maybe it sounds a little stuffy, but this looks like a massive adventure. Where will you watch The Odyssey, Leah?
I will be in Buffalo visiting family, so I have tickets to go see it this Friday.
Are you seeing it on IMAX?
I am. Yeah.
Is there any other choice for
you? We're going to be so spoiled by this. I've wondered for years since I first got interested in The Odyssey why we don't have a great film version of it. And I think that seeing Christopher Nolan use all of the resources of cinema to bring this ancient tale to life is just so exciting.
And what's one of the themes that you think this ancient tale just captures people's fascination, interest, and desire to hear a story about?
I think that the idea of homecoming, the Greek word nostos, which is the root of nostalgia, I think this yearning to return to a time that was simpler, to who we were in the past, before struggles, I think that that speaks to everyone across history. Something that I think is really fascinating about the Odyssey is that it doesn't romanticize that journey. Odysseus actually gets home, and this isn't a spoiler because it happens in the middle of the story. It's not the ending. It isn't this kind of happy, safe arrival. He gets home and he doesn't recognize it. He doesn't get home to a sort of warm homecoming and to the truth. He lies for several books to everybody, disguises himself. It's not a peaceful homecoming. He actually brings the violence of the battlefield to Ithaca with him in devastating fashion. In fact, there's a great book called Odysseus in America by Jonathan Shea, who is a classics major in college and a psychiatrist. And he argues that Odysseus was the first literary case of PTSD in the literary tradition. So someone who was unable to return home and leave the scars and wounds and fights of battle safely at battle. So he brought that home with him.
That's interesting and very human. And so yep. many people in so many walks of life cope with PTSD, absolutely. Whether it's first responders or military or domestic abuse situations. It's interesting, those universals, and what an interesting observation. Mm-hmm. So you will see it for sure as an English professor, as the semester starts. Is this on your syllabus?
It will be, for sure. Yeah. It's not going to be this fall because of what I'm teaching, but as soon as I teach the Odyssey again, it will absolutely be on my syllabus.
Well, I may see if you'll come back for your Odyssey review, since I know you'll be seeing it. So
several times. I'm a repeat viewer, so yeah.
Well, thank you very, very much. She is Dr. Leah Fleck, Marquette University English professor and Odyssey enthusiast. I appreciate your insights, and may you enjoy the Odyssey.
Same to you. Thanks for having me.